All right. We are back. One more episode. It's the first episode of March. I think the 7th or 8th episode of 2026. I'm not sure. I'm not keeping count.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, we're back for Golden Bold. I'm your host, Nathan Pagliaroli. And once again, another familiar face and familiar places. Tanner's back. Say what up, Tanner.
It's good to be back. Basketball is finally over.
I know. So our season's coming to winding down. Not many more games to commentate. Not many more things to do, but we still got Golden Bold. Sports world is heating up. The weather's getting nicer, even though today's kind of ugly.
Yeah, not been a good day, but still got women's hockey going on for the Golden Hawks.
We do got women's hockey. We got the World Baseball Classic. The NHL is heating up. It's mixing up, and we're going to talk about it all today. And let's start. You said women's hockey. Let's start about women's hockey. They take on the Ottawa GGs in the semifinals. Game one today. Have you really seen the women's team, the Laurier women's team? They seem to be getting better at the right time, and they are going to get hot, especially going to Ottawa.
Have they really been bad this season, though?
I mean, there was a little stretch that I was a little concerned.
They've had a couple games.
I was a little concerned. When they went Waterloo, U of T, they went to overtime against a Nipissing team. I think it was a shootout win against Nipissing. That was a cause for concern.
It was a little concerning, but like all those people know, the coach knows, like, it's been a long season coming to an end. You can kind of, they were able to take their foot off the gas a little bit and try and rest before playoffs started, and it seems like it's kind of helping them out now.
You could say it's helping them out now. One thing that I will say, it's helping them out really a lot. So I was there Valentine's Day. It was probably the biggest game of the regular season. It's Laurier versus Guelph. And this game decides the one seed, because the only reason it decides the one seed is because Guelph chokes the Brock a few days earlier. So it was a two-game series against Brock, essentially, home and home. They beat Brock 8-0 in Guelph, and then they go to St. Catharines and lose. That sets up this match for the one seed. And the only reason, and Laurier wins that last game of the season to get the one seed, so they avoid having to play Waterloo. That's been huge for them, because if you watch that Waterloo-Guelph series, game three, triple overtime.
Dogfight.
Triple overtime. Guelph gets away with it after Fidel, the Italian Olympian for Guelph, shout out. She played out of her mind. I think Waterloo was the better team throughout the entire overtime period, which lasted three overtimes. Just like, and the goal that essentially ended the Waterloo Warrior seasons, it was more or less a muffin from the blue line. And it was just, if you're a Waterloo Warriors women's hockey fan, what an unfortunate way for that one then.
Yeah, definitely not the way you want it to end, but that could have been a finals matchup. Like, those two teams are just dogs. Like, two of the best teams in OUA women's hockey. I'm not surprised it went that long. Unfortunate for them.
It is really, really unfortunate. Just that idea. And that's been huge for Laurier to avoid that. Basically, they played four games. If you were thinking, like, three over, that's another game. They played four. Now, for Laurier to avoid that, and I'm not saying, no disrespect to the Brock Badgers, Whippets hockey team, but that is a team that Laurier, I believe the Brock announcer said it, they scored one goal against them the entire season, including game one of the playoff series. Game two, they had their best game against Laurier. It was a 3-2 loss in overtime where the Golden Hawks just dominated.
Yeah.
And if that's the best they can put up against the Golden Hawks, it was huge for them to avoid a Waterloo or Guelph that's had their number the entire season. Now they head to Ottawa. And what do you think about Ottawa? Last time they played, Laurier won 5-0 against Ottawa at home. But I believe this is a very different Ottawa team that we saw maybe earlier on in January to what we're seeing now, a team that handled a good U of T team.
Yeah, they looked really sharp against U of T. They were dotting their I's and crossing their T's that whole game. They were just on top of it all. But just Laurier's defense, their goaltending, their forwards, they're able to put the puck in the net, move the puck around well. And just kind of, I feel like they're just going to be able to dance around them here. I don't think it's going to go three games. If it does, I still think Laurier is going to win. Might be a bit of a homer, but they just have proven why they're one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, they have really proven that. But, like, to Ottawa's, not really. Like, they beat a team that had Laurier's number the entire season, U of T. And they beat him in game three. It was for the whole third period where they kind of pulled away from U of T. It was pretty convincingly. But once again, I believe if they do not win, if Ottawa GGs cannot beat the Golden Hawks tonight, and they can't do it convincingly, they have no shot. There's no way they come down the Waterloo back-to-back nights and beat them twice. It just won't happen. Simply put, it just won't happen. But we've seen crazier things happen. We saw something crazier happen earlier on in this women's playoffs. Ontario Tech eliminated what was at one point in the season number three nationally ranked Queens. They did it in three. That's a major upset. They play Guelph now, and almost like if you really want to look at betting odds, we're set up towards a Laurier Guelph finals. But I'm not counting on Ontario Tech. That's my Cinderella story.
Yeah, well, crazy things happen in university or college sports. It's just teams get hot at the right time. A player gets hot at the right time. They're just putting the puck in the net when they need to. But that Guelph team is scary.
They're very scary. And they've leveled up from the last time the Golden Hawks have played them. Once again, Fidel is back.
Yeah.
You have an Olympic-level goaltender. How many teams can say, hey, we sent a player, essentially a goaltender, to the Olympics? And they were good with Helfenstein already, and they were taking another step forward with Fidel.
You know, it's going to be tough. That if it's a Golden Hawks-Guelph series, it's going to be fun to watch. I don't know how many goals there's going to be in that series, but it'll be fun to watch.
Each game, or I believe I'm not 100% sure. I believe the McCaw Cup's one game, which I think it should be a series.
Is it one game?
I'm pretty sure this is going to be a one gamer. I believe it's the 14th. If it is going to be the McCaw, which really the whole playoffs is a series. Why make it one game, especially between two teams, Laurier Guelph? Well, okay, it's not going to be. We're not saying it's going to be Laurier Guelph. That's what we think. There's still two series need to be played. Don't count on Ontario Tech. I'm counting out Ottawa right now. I don't think if there is a team, I believe the weakest team Laurier could have played, this is the best case scenario for the Golden Hawks, is to see the GGs. You now have avoided U of T, Queens, and you'd void Guelph bare minimum to the final. And those are the three teams, if you really look at their entire schedule, that have given the Golden Hawks any sort of trouble. The GGs got blown out of the water last time they played each other. There's no if, and, or but. Like, of what happened, I was there, I called that game, and it was over by the second period. They scored 26 seconds into that game, and from that point onwards, the game was over. I'm not saying this is the same GG's team, but I'm saying if it's anything close to that, it has to be a complete 180 from that game to have a shot.
They're not that different of a team. For it to be so much of a difference that out of three games, Laurier is not going to be able to win two, especially when two of them are at home.
Exactly, and you have two goalies, pretend one goal. Let's just say they've ran on Cale Renaud this playoffs, which has been kind of surprising, especially during the tail end of the season. They've gone Cale Renaud. During the playoffs, they've gone Cale Renaud. When it seemed like from 85% of the season, it was Sarah Howell for the big games, the big moments. She's going to play the better team, but we haven't seen her in weeks. We have not. Even during the Brock series.
Is she injured potentially? Or is there something going on with her?
I think Kelly Patton's just playing the hot hand right now.
I mean, I guess, but I think if something goes wrong tonight, I think we might see Sarah Howell in net for game two or game three coming back home. Especially you want the goalie that's hot, especially when you're going into next series. You want to just feed that hot hand and just show them that you have confidence in them. But we can't lose to Ottawa. And no. if you lose to Ottawa, you're going to have to switch it up.
No, you can't lose to Ottawa. And it's been Sarah Howell. She kind of got a bit of a, like, where I think where the tides change is that Waterloo game. They lost 4-3. It was Sarah Howell on a back-to-back. And it felt like right there, it's felt like it switched from Sarah Howell's crease to a Kayla Renaud's crease. And we're seeing it right now. But it would be intriguing to see because Sarah Howell, former Gigi, she got redshirted her entire first year, transferred to Laurier. I know the Gigi's are kicking themselves for losing one of the best goalies in the OUA right now. But that could be a storyline to look at. Maybe Kelly Patton plays into that. Like, hey, this is the team that brought you into the OUA. Go take them out.
It'll be fun to watch. I'm sure. I think no matter what team she's going to play, she's going to be playing her heart out. She's going to be stopping everything. Like she was at the start of the season. She was on fire. I can't imagine that we're not going to see at least a similar version of that Sarah Howell going into the playoffs. Especially, like, if you're thinking about the practice, like, when they're practicing, look at the team that she has to face in practice. Like, it's definitely not going to be easy. So I think she's going to be ready to go up against pretty much any team.
Yeah, and then I feel like if this is the issues we're having as the Golden Hawks team, hey, which superstar elite goalie do you want to play in your crease in the playoffs? Because we know we're going to beat this team in the semifinal. That's not the word we're talking. We're being pretty nitpicky right now. It's like, oh, who's going to play Sarah Howell or Kayla Renaud? Does it really matter? And when it really comes down to the end of it, like, this is a team where I have full faith in all four lines, all 3D pairings, whoever's even like sitting and watching in the stands, who's scratched. I have full confidence of them. If they were to come into the game, if they were to play the next game, that they could be good and they could keep playing and they could fill in, like Riley Krieger, Lily Spencer. These are players that don't play every game, but I have full confidence in them when they do.
Yeah, all the girls on the team, they've all had their moments when they've gotten ice time. It's been like every line, every minute, every second of each game, they're clicking and they're finding some kind of success. Even the games that have been close or where they're losing, they're still finding a lot of success.
Yeah, it's just, who's going to step up to this team? I don't think it's Ottawa. You don't think it's Ottawa. I think, even to make predictions right now would be meaningless. We both know what we want. We want to see Laurier, Guelph, not counting out Ontario Tech and Ottawa. They both have had incredible seasons. But if it's felt like these are the two best teams in the OUA, especially for the entire part of 26, it's what the fans want. It's what we want for the McCaw Cup. And kind of to speak about, we've talked about dominance a little bit. TMU basketball, both sides, men and women's, they've capped off two great seasons.
Just ridiculous.
Championships. It's just, you don't see that. You really don't see that when you have the ability to build not one good team, championship caliber team that goes on and wins it, but you do it on the other side.
Yeah. Well, also, I'm trying to remember TMU women's basketball. Historically, I don't think they've had a lot of success. This is one of the first seasons where they've really been dominant. And then in the playoffs, they just turned it up to another level. And they were all over every single team that they faced. And they just kind of ran through the playoffs.
Yeah, they had like 20 wins or something the regular season.
Yeah.
But like when you think of TMU, you don't think elite sports. It's not. No. It's a school really for me that flies under the radar so much, especially when you're just talking about university sports in general. It's not a school where you think, especially when you think Toronto, I think U of T. I even think maybe even York. I don't necessarily, my mind
York's
doesn't.
Basketball team's not
It's
so
not
good.
The greatest, but like when I think of sports in general, I'm not thinking Toronto Metropolitan University, but all around, they've been good. Even their men's hockey team is making a solid, solid push right now. And it's phenomenal for them. They have a phenomenal broadcasting team. Matt Mee Center, one more. It's probably the best facility in the OUA.
Center.
It's probably the best in the OUA. And, you know, it kind of makes sense. They pack so many fans. They have an electric crowd. And good for TMU.
Yeah, well, also, like, being in Toronto, it's a little bit of a bonus. There's a lot of people in Toronto, a lot of hockey fans there who maybe aren't able to go afford Leafs or even Marlies tickets at this point. But go see a TMU game.
You should. And before the season runs out, because, you know, whole seasons could go burn up in flames, just like the Rock Badgers. They had three teams in the fight. One weekend goes by, all of our teams are gone. Men's hockey, women's hockey, men's basketball. Two of them at the hands of the TMU. What an unfortunate way for Brock to go. A little mini rivalry going, but just get to a TMU game.
Yeah, definitely kind of unexpected to see Brock and TMU going at it. Those games started to get a little chippy there. But I wonder, like, what that's going to bring into next season, like how TMU moves forward with this. I think they've got a couple of guys on the men's basketball team that are fifth years, I believe. So just seeing kind of how they bounce back and restructure themselves after winning this year.
Yeah, you just don't get too high on yourselves. You win it all, got to get back to work immediately. And it starts right now from all teams in the OUA. Well, I'm really excited to see what next year has to bring, especially for Golden Hawk Sports. Men's team, Lucas Chart is now an Orlando Solar Bear. Best team in the ECHL. but we're excited. We're really excited to see what happens. And what I'm really excited to see what happens, World Baseball Classic finally kicked off, I believe, last night. I believe it was Chinese Taipei versus Australia. Australia upsets 3-0. But are you not excited for the best-on-best baseball?
I'm pretty excited, but what's your predictions for at least the finals? What do you think is going to happen?
there's only really, if I were to tell you a champion right now, there's only three teams that come to mind, and that is the United States, it's Japan, and it's the DR.
Yeah.
Like, you can't bet against these teams. Or like, the only real teams that have absolute crazy pitching staffs, they have crazy hitting talent. They're all around, like, they're MLB. These are MLB All-Star teams. They're rocking.
100%.
It's not like Team Canada that it's rocking. Like, their ace is either Kyle Quantrill or Jameson Taillon. And for people who don't really watch baseball, these are guys you pick them in fantasy baseball in your most desperate hours. Yeah, it's like, these are the type of guys
you
have
really
as aces.
Don't, like, you're no, you don't even want to pick them in fantasy baseball.
These are like your waiver wires. Oh, yeah. I need 6 points.
Yeah.
Give me Jameson Taillon off waivers. It's, these are not great players. Like, it's Josh Naylor and friends, it feels like.
Yeah, no, it's this Canadian team is rough. I just don't understand how the pitching staff is so bad.
We were talking about this yesterday. We were texting about it. And I didn't really think about it that bad because you kind of recognize some of the names. But, like, these aren't, like, you recognize the names, but, like, not for good reasons.
No.
Like, I'm not recognizing Cal Quantrill's name because he's an elite pitcher. No, because it's Cal Quantrill. It's a Rockies pitcher.
Yeah. Well, also, like, I'm seeing guys, I'm, like, eighth overall pick in the 2016 draft. And now he has a 15 ERA in spring training.
I mean, like, if he hasn't, like, developed, it's been 10 years. Like, you got to develop at one point. But, like, I don't think this is the year for Canada. Canada's got, I feel like they got a lot of talent coming up soon. A lot of young guys. It's going to be a lot of young guys. But this is not the year for Canada. They are just going to survive.
Yeah, no. Well, I don't even know if it's going to be much surviving. I think once we, even Mexico, if we go up against Mexico, we're going to get stomped on. There's not much that we're going to be able to do against any of the top three teams, DR, US, or Japan. It's just sad.
It's not going to be fun. It's not like watching best-on-best hockey where you have the best players. You know, this is the United States. And, like, the United States team, this has got to be one of the best teams assembled. It, like, can you even, like, speak to a weakness other than Clayton Kershaw?
Well, I mean, Tarik Skubal only pitching against the UK.
It's brutal. That's brutal.
That's a crazy decision.
But they have the bullpen. Like, they have the other starting pitchers. Like, you have Mason Miller and, like, Clay Holmes. You have Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens is there.
Yeah.
They have guys that can throw 100 with ease, like, half that pitching staff. They have – it's an all-star pitching staff. Bullpen, starting rotation. And even if they give up 8 runs, I believe they're hitting stat. Like, whoever's fueling –
they're scoring 20 runs.
Like, you saw what they did to the Rockies.
Yeah.
Like, it's
– I just feel bad for the Rockies players having to go through that.
You know, they're up at one point. They were up
– at one point.
They're up 5-4. And, well, because Clayton Kershaw is throwing 85.
Yeah.
And Team USA uniform.
50-year-old Clayton Kershaw still trying to throw a ball.
But it's like they have the best catchers. Like, Will Smith is your backup catcher.
Yeah.
Because you have Kyle Raleigh. You have MVP, Aaron Judge, Bryce Harper. You have MVP runner-ups like Bobby Witt. You have Ernie Clement, Blue Jays legend. I don't know why.
Best playoff performer of all time.
I believe that those playoffs are like the only reason he's on this team. You have, for some reason, like, what's surprising, I was watching some of their exhibition games, Byron Buxton's on the team.
Yeah, that feels like a 2016 pull.
It does feel like such a wild pull, but, like, why not? If Kershaw can get on the team.
It doesn't. They can have a couple guys who might be a little bit of a charity pull, but it's, like, the rest of the squad's just so good that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, like, these guys are going to play when they're blowing Canada out by, like, 20 in the sixth inning. Hey, Byron, go get your at-bat. And we already come at, like, a feel-good moment against Team Canada or something.
Yeah.
But, like, it really is going to come down USA, Japan. That's what everyone wants. Everyone wants to see Mike. Like, who doesn't want to see? Why is Mateo Beckles calling me?
Shout out Mateo Beckles.
Yeah, Mateo Beckles. He might be here next week. He might be on the episode next week. For whoever wants to hear Mateo Beckles talk Warrior Women's Sports. This is the only guy with, like, behind-the-scenes access to everything that happens. He's there all the time. But it's going to be Japan, the USA, Shohei Ohtani. You can't bet against him. You can't bet against, like, some people say, they don't have MLB stars. Like, the whole team's not MLB stars. They got the NPB All-Stars. That's, like, that's pretty good in itself.
That's better than Team Canada's roster.
I mean, like, that's comparing diamonds to ash. Like, there's no way to put it. Like, Team Canada genuinely has fifth, like, their whole pitching staff's just guys who are, like, barely making rosters. Josh Naylor.
Yeah, we have Josh Naylor and a bunch of decent AAA guys.
Decent is putting it very, 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 like, if one of your best players is Owen Casey, and Owen Casey has hardly made a name for himself in the MLB or at Pipeline, we have a major issue.
Yeah.
If Edouard Julien is playing for your team, and it's past 2022, like, that guy was a dog 4 years ago. Guy's awful now.
Yeah.
And
we have a lot of guys that were great.
Not even great.
They had a lot of potential.
It's if you really look at the team, like, I have it right in front of me, and it's just depressing. It truly and honestly is depressing. Like, Adam Mako.
Haven't heard that name in a while.
Oh, boy. Let's look at the infielders. Infielders, like, one name, other than Josh Naylor, it's Otto Lopez and Edouard Julien. Nothing. Yeah. And your outfielders, Denzel Clark. That's a good pull, actually. I like Denzel Clark. I saw him with the Athletics. This guy, uber athletic outfielder, cannot hit. We have Tyler O'Neill, legendary 2020. Like, this team would have been all right 3 years ago. This team's garbage now.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. It really is. I hope the talent that I'm seeing getting drafted of, especially like places like Mississauga, Toronto, like these guys that, like, Josiah Romeo, sixth round pick to the Athletics.
We have guys on the come up.
We do have guys. And we got to hope that they actually start developing, because I don't think we can go through another.
I think Canada's baseball development is just in such a bad spot right now that if we ever want to see Canada make real noise in the World Baseball Classic, we're still 20, 30 years away from that.
I don't know about 20, 30 years. I feel there is more talent coming out of Canada now.
There's more talent.
But they're all 18, 19. They're all, like, our age.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like a lot of this baseball talent is. I've seen it in my own two eyes. Like, 10, 15 years ago, you're going to see guys throwing casual 90s playing high school baseball in Canada. No. I'm seeing, like, I played high school baseball last year. There's guys always on other teams throwing mid to high 80s. Some guys touch 90s.
Yeah.
Like, draft eligible guys that are there. And you're like, look, now there's levels to this. Now we're in Canadian. Now it's not just.
But, like, it just feels like Canadian baseball is at a similar place as American baseball was in, like, the early 2000s. Like, we're still quite a step behind from what these other countries are at. Like, even Japan, their development is ridiculous. Like, you've heard the stories about the Japanese baseball tournaments.
No, they just, dude, it's almost abuse. It is abuse. It is abuse.
But they develop guys who are incredible.
Yeah, they do. But here's the thing, they did lose to one of their NPB. I believe it was something Bison, was it? Can't remember. Ornix Buffaloes.
Yeah.
They lost to them, but, like, it's a super exhibition game. Who cares? They're going to come out. They're going to shellack their division. And they're like, Australia, Korea, Chinese Taipei, Knights.
Korea might be a fun game because Korea is a little bit more competent at baseball compared to some of those other teams, but it's still, they're just going to stomp them.
Yeah, that's like the super rivalry too, like Japan-Korea. Yeah. I don't think Japan, they're going to go all, that's like the game where, like, we're not losing. Czechia is in that pool. Nope. Like, it's going to be, Japan's going to go 4-0. Wipe it.
Can we talk about the Yrieksen Profar
situation? What an idiot. This guy, how do you get suspended back-to-back seasons? Like, I understand doing it once. Oh, man, I had ringworm cream like Tatis that one year. But twice? Come on now. Like, you lose $15 million over this?
Yeah. Well, I think last season he lost $6 million because of it, because he missed, like, half the season.
Yeah, and now he's...
the full season of a $15 million year.
And, here's the thing. It makes sense when you, like, you're a young guy, you have to chase the bag because, okay, now I got to put these numbers to get the big contract. Profar had the big contract. Yeah. You could have been garbage the entire season. You should have walked with $15 million.
But also, like, if you're a young guy, it still doesn't make sense to me. Like, you have the athleticism. You're still working on your skills, hopefully. Like, you should be able to develop into a guy to where you can get that big contract. If you're not good enough, well, tough luck. That sucks. But for a lot of the older guys, I understand why. Like, maybe their body's not recovering as well. They don't have the power that they used to have when they were younger, and they're just trying to get that back a little bit. So I could see why some of the older guys, like even that's why Barry Bonds did it. So like I could see why some of those guys would want to juice, but like Erickson Profar, like, come on.
No, I don't get it. I really don't. Like, why compromise yourself? Why compromise your future? Like, is any team ever going to touch him again? He's so stricken for the NPB after this, like, suspension. Yeah. Like, no one's ever going to touch him again.
He's a good baseball player, too. That's the worst part.
It's like, why? Why ruin yourself over a steroid scandal? You got caught for it once. It should have been, okay, you guys caught me. I won't do it again. And, like, what are we doing?
Everyone would have just moved past him. Like,
Everyone makes mistakes. Now you do it twice, and now your whole season's cooked. Now you can't play for a whole season. It's like, what? Like, that's just, it's boneheaded. It really is just boneheaded.
It makes really, like, no sense at all. But he said he was going to challenge their ruling, whatever they decide, which it seems like a 162-game suspension is going to happen. But
I don't think he's winning it.
No.
It's like walking into a courtroom after you've, like, stolen something from the store once. Okay, we'll let you off with a little maybe fine or something. And then the next week, you get caught doing the exact same thing. Yeah. You're not getting off easily again. It's, and I think someone else from the Phillies, I think Rojas from the Phillies, it was funny because he makes an incredible diving play against the Jays. And then, like, a few hours later, suspended 82 games for PEDs. So they're cracking down right now.
Well, I think the MLB, they just see like a highlight play and they're like, test him immediately.
They're right. They caught him. But it's. I don't think we're going back to the whole, they're preventing it. The whole steroid era is garbage. But freaks
You're
in
not
nature.
A fan of the steroid era.
I'm a fan, but
baseball is one of the few sports because there's no contact.
Yeah, you can get away with it.
Where I'm like, do it. Like, it's not like you're gonna be hurting other people. Whereas, like, a sport like hockey, if you're juicing, you're running into another person.
Yeah, like UFC, like, you're putting another man's life at risk. Only thing with steroids is it has more effect on the actual the body.
Yeah.
Your own body, it's just like...
But you're only hurting yourself if you're in the MLB and you're doing it compared to another sport like UFC where you're hurting yourself, but you're also hurting other people at the same time.
Yeah, but, like, also another thing is, like, I feel like the guys now that we have now... are just as powerful naturally as they were in the steroid era. Like, God, you're telling me guys like Aaron Judge, Shohei, Vladdy, like, these guys are strong. They're big. They're big boys,
it's
too.
Ridiculous.
Like, they're putting on, like, they have the best nutrition. They have, like, they're almost as good as the steroids of 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, 20 years ago, they didn't have the same nutrition, the same recovery, the same training that they have now. And they were also, they didn't take care of themselves. They were in the dugout smoking cigs.
You get the, like, get the pine tar going. Not pine tar, chewing tobacco,
they didn't
dip.
Care.
Oh, boy. That was real baseball. No, but, it's a completely different game, sports in general. Like, you don't need to be juicing now because you have the best equipment, the best nutrition. You're going to be 6'3", 225, 250 like Vladdy. Judge is 6'6", 2-something. The guy's a monster.
Yeah, like, that guy should not be playing baseball.
No, he should be... Like,
he's an NBA or an NFL player, but he's playing baseball.
I think he has, and like, football tape, too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this guy has face, like, football and basketball tape, too.
Get him on the outside as an outside linebacker, just have him run people down.
He's a 100 millionaire for a reason, doing what he does best. Speaking of baseball, Kyler Murray, recently released quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals. He's talking about a return to baseball now.
Like, first off, I really don't know why the Cardinals got rid of him.
I see why. He's just, it's not worked. He got drafted, what, 2019?
First overall, 19.
It's been six years now that they have had Kyler Murray. I've seen quarterbacks play better, Tua Tagovailoa, and last less amount of time.
But who has he had?
He's had some decent teams. He's had DeAndre Hopkins. I think, like, a decent DeAndre Hopkins.
It was a fairly...
Like, he
that was a young Kyler Murray and an older DeAndre Hopkins.
But still, he's had some decent, like, granted, he's been injury prone in the last few years. He hasn't had the best of teams. But his teams back in 21, 22, those are some, like, decent teams. Those are some pretty good Cardinals teams. And if you do recall, this guy's had some horrid lowlights in the playoffs. Like, against the Rams, biggest game of his career, we thought so far at the time. It's his biggest game of his career overall.
Yeah.
He's never reached the playoffs again. he probably never will again.
Future Jets legend.
Exactly. Like, you're not reaching. That's you're staring. It's going to be Tua or Kyler that's going to stare down the barrel playing for the Jets next season. And it's just.
Realistically,
though. He crumbled in the biggest moment.
No one's signing Tua. There's no reason to. He's going to get hit once. He's going to crumple like a piece of paper.
I could see a team signing Tua. Who's going to sign Tua? It's going to be a team that's going to draft like a project quarterback this year.
I'd rather have Joe Flacco.
That's a horrid. I understand why, but Joe Flacco is also one hit away from his career being over.
Well, like, at least with a guy like Joe Flacco, you're getting in a much older, obviously, but a guy who's going to help teach those younger quarterbacks. If you're getting a quarterback to try and develop long term, a guy like Joe Flacco is not the worst option you could have to try and teach him.
But here's the thing with Tua. Tua, I feel like he is the most overhated quarterback. I saw a post on Instagram. If you ever would take a quarterback, that's the biggest discrepancy between how well he plays and how much he's hated. Tua's that guy. Because Tua, incredible. I don't understand his arm's garbage. Like, comparable to the rest of the NFL, he doesn't have a great arm, but he has incredible accuracy. He's an incredible game manager. Granted, his brain's a little fried right now, just a tad. He's a little bit scrambled. But he is a guy that if I was a team with some quarterback issues, I would be very keen on signing Tua. If I signed Tua, if my team signed Tua, I'd be like, that's not the worst case scenario. Especially if I'm a struggling team. If I'm the Arizona Cardinals, Tua's not the worst option
for me. It's not a bad guy to take a chance on, but if you're a team that doesn't have an O-line, don't kill this man. That's all I'm trying to say is there's no reason to, at least for Tua's sake, like just speaking for him, obviously I don't know him, but I wouldn't want to go to a team where they have no O-line. Like, look at isn't it the Browns right now? They have, like, nobody signed to their O-line.
Could be the Browns. Something's got a very Browns thing to do.
It's either Browns or the Bears.
I don't think it's the Bears. The Bears have a lot of guys locked up.
But it's,
up.
Like, literally no O-line. It's ridiculous.
Got to address it. Here's the thing with the Browns. The Browns are forever, eternally cooked. Until Deshaun Watson. Shoot, Deshaun Watson. That's a name that's still
the Deshaun Watson summer, like, he's getting ready to come back. The like highlight clips.
He has to get ready to come back. Like, this is like if Maker. I understand.
What are we saying here right now?
He has to like genuinely like what else is there in Cincinnati and in Cleveland?
Yeah,
that's the guy you paid a stupid amount of money.
Way too much money.
No, that even
he was never worth that much money.
You think? Never. He was never worth a dollar. I was no clue why that guy was he allowed to come back to play.
He was good on the Texans,
and then
before everything, he was actually playing quite good.
But like if you're away from the NFL for like what, 18 months, you have to deal with all the legal stuff. Then you go to the Browns.
Yeah,
no, you're done. Your career's over, bud. If you don't have like a half decent year this year, you're out of the NFL. UFL is calling. Birmingham Stallions. I could see Deshaun Watson with Birmingham, but no, he's done for. What else happened in the NFL? Oh, DJ Moore got traded.
He did.
To the Buffalo Bills. Do they finally have their one?
No.
Really? You're not a big DJ Moore guy?
He's... it'll be fun to watch. I would love to see him do well. But the Bills have just been such a dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire is kind of crazy for a team that went to the... What was it? Their divisional championship? Divisional game? They're not that bad.
They're not... Okay. Dumpster fire might be a bit far, but they just... They don't have anything where it's like, if I'm a Bills fan right now, where I'm really looking forward to this. Where like next season, I'm like, this is going to be a different year. We actually have something that's going to succeed.
I don't think they're that cooked. If they played in a real like difficult division, yeah, I would say they're kind of cooked. But they do play the Jets twice a year.
Yeah.
You get to play the Dolphins. I don't think if you have Josh Allen, I don't think Joe Brady's a horrible head coach. I think he'd be decent at what he does. He has... James Cook, he has. DJ Moore, I think, is one of the most underappreciated wide receivers in the NFL. Even though he was like, I think he hated Caleb Williams. Because he loved Justin Fields. I remember watching those Bears. He loved Justin Fields. He had Caleb Williams, and he's like, get me the hell out of Chicago.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but their wide receiver room was like too loaded. Get him out. I think he's going to have an incredible season for DJ Moore is going to have in Buffalo.
I hope so.
Drafting fantasy, that's my like, if I'm giving one piece of advice, DJ Moore is my, like, guy that I'm going to try to pick up in fantasy.
I just think right now the Bills are kind of stuck in, like, a bit of a purgatory where like they're not good enough to win a Super Bowl.
No. They have to have like the most cupcake schedule to make
they're going to make the playoffs 100%, but that's the problem is they're too good for their division, so they're going to make the playoffs, but they're not going to win a Super Bowl. So they're not getting better draft picks, and like they're not an attractive free agent market.
No.
So they're just stuck in this spot where they're good.
But they're not great. Like, that's like, they feel like they're eternally stuck at 11 wins. You're getting bounced well before the Super Bowl in the playoffs by, like, a team. Like, it's way better than them. It's just unfortunate for them. And if this was the best year, like, people were saying at the start of the playoffs, if the Bills need to get it done, it has to be this year. And then they ran into some controversy. It wasn't a catch. And, Yeah, and then they had the shot because the Patriots weren't that good either. We saw that in the Super Bowl.
Let it be known this guy has a Denver Broncos sweatshirt on right now as he's speaking.
Hey.
So if you're a Bills fan, just know where his loyalties lie.
Whatever happened, happened. But it was our year. It was really our year. Bo Nix. No.
That was unfortunate.
Oh, we need to move past that. We need to move past that. It's already done. It happened.
But Stephon Diggs released by the Patriots.
What a clown Stephon Diggs is. He's so funny. The whole situation is like, that's your wide receiver one.
Yeah.
Cut. I know he had some legal issues. Like, Stephon Diggs, of course he has legal issues. The guy was messing around with Cardi B until he lost the Super Bowl. He got broken up with right after the Super Bowl. It was just, it's a whole thing with him. And I don't know where Stephon Diggs goes now. Like, you think he finds a permanent home in New England? I thought that pairing worked well with him and Drake May.
They were fun to watch. They had some nice plays. They were able to, like, have good chemistry together. I don't really understand. Like, I think it was for contract renegotiations. They wanted him to change his contract.
Yeah, probably. He is a bit old. He is a bit overpaid.
Yeah. But now it's like, where does he go?
I couldn't tell you. Like, he feels like if he was like a guy that would go to like Pittsburgh if Mike Tomlin was still there, but Mike Tomlin's not there anymore, so I have no clue, because I felt like Mike Vrabel liked him, Drake May liked him, I felt like for the first time in maybe the last 5 years, Stephon Diggs wasn't hated on his team.
Yeah,
and now he's gone. Now I have no clue. Like, find some garbage team to go play on. Like, I don't know.
Like, it's going to be some, like, just kind of bottom feeder team.
I can see him being a New York Jet. That feels right. I can see him in that green.
It's going to be like the Kevin Garnett Brooklyn Nets picture.
It's going to be a lot of those. Like, even Tyreek Hill. Like, I could see Tyreek going back to Kansas City.
That would make sense.
I could see that.
Tyreek and Stephon Diggs in Kansas City.
You know how much cancer that would be for the, like, the Kansas City Chiefs are known for having, like, bad boy receivers. Like, Rashee Rice?
Yep. Go for it. Pull the trigger.
No, pull the trigger. Pull the trigger. As a Broncos fan. Let that happen.
The Chiefs, Travis Kelce, so old.
They have no Mahomes next year for at least half the year.
Yeah.
Who's going to be like quarterback for them? And I think if you want to think of a Tua going to a team, I think Tua fits the Chiefs system well.
I think you're trying to set them up for failure here.
I know I'm not. I genuinely, if I were to think of a place for Tua to land, it would be the Chiefs.
I don't know if Tua's going to have a job next year. Maybe as a backup quarterback.
I think Tua could do like whatever like Daniel Jones has done, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, those types of redemption stories. He's cast off by his original team.
I would love to see that happen for him. I just don't.
He's such a good dude. He's such a good guy. I want to see him succeed. I used to hate him too. Now I want to see him succeed.
I would love to see Baker Mayfield win a Super Bowl.
I don't think he does it in Tampa Bay. He has to go.
Definitely not.
Because even Mike Evans wants to go.
Well, Mike Evans is just so old, it doesn't really matter.
It's consistent. He gets the job done, but it's time for him to go ring chasing again. Even though he has won, he wants to go again. And it's not going to happen in Tampa Bay. It's not like Baker Mayfield's a great quarterback, but Tampa Bay as an organization is
Mayfield to Minnesota.
What are we saying?
What, would you rather have nine?
You know, as a guy who doesn't love the Vikings, I think nine is horrible. But Yeah, JJ, he was never good. I never understood the pick. I never understood why he went before Bo Nix. Thank God he went before Bo Nix. But just overall mismanagement by the Vikings. They let a Super Bowl champion walk out of their door.
It's a very Vikings thing to do.
Extremely Vikings thing to do. I don't know. What a horrible organization that really is. But kind of the move away from football. Football hasn't happened in a while. Some things shaking up in the NHL. Some teams finally selling. The Maple Leafs. Nick Roy is a Colorado Avalanche for a stupid price, a conditional first and fifth for Nick Roy.
When was the last time the Leafs traded for a first round pick?
Dude, it's been forever. This is usually the type of trade they would make for like Nick Roy. Like, remember, they gave up a first for like Nick Foligno. This is the type of team.
I forgot about that.
I saw this post. I'm like, it was like 10 games of Nick Foligno for a first and fourth.
Yeah.
And they usually don't do this, but like, They had to recuperate some assets, and they finally dumped. They got an incredible package for a player that is not worth a first.
No, a first and a fifth.
It's like the fifth isn't like that's a little like little icing on the cake. Like, but that's crazy.
To get both, it's just a little bit like.
Like if I were to think of a Nick Roy trade, I just think the fifth.
Yeah.
Like the first, it is a seller's market all of a sudden.
Yeah, no, it's good for the Leafs. If you're a Leafs fan, you have maybe a little bit. To be happy about, you're finally getting some kind of capital that you can do something with, because they haven't had a first round pick in forever.
It is forever, and it's just surprisingly this year. Like the Leafs, we didn't think Mitch Marner that he's gone now. We didn't think it was going to be that bad for the Leafs, and all of a sudden, the tanks are rolling into the Toronto. They're going for McKenna now. Like it's incredible.
I mean, I'm not too surprised. Mitch Marner's, you just lost 100 points. You just lost a guy who's going to get you 100 points. And they had nobody to replace him with.
I thought Matheus Michelli, I thought Easton Cowan coming through the system. Like, okay, those guys can probably combine and give you for like 80, 90 points. I remember when Leafs fans preseason were like, Matheus Michelli is the second coming of Mitch Marner. That's like, that's our guy, Matheus Michelli. Matheus Michelli's been garbage.
Yeah, no.
He's been garbage. Matheus Michelli's trash. The Buffalo Sabres are good. What a shock. The Sabres are good. The Leafs and Panthers are bad.
I still will never forgive the Sabres for what they did to Jack Eichel.
Yeah, blocked the surgery. He goes to Vegas, but he's thriving in Vegas. You know, everyone's thriving in Vegas.
Yeah, they're having a great time in Vegas. Every other team absolutely hates them.
Same. I cannot stand that team. They're so fraudulent this year, though. Like, I think I've seen a stat. They haven't beat a winning team or like a playoff caliber team since like November. They're not a good team. They aren't, like, they're so lucky they play in, like, the piss-poor Pacific. Like,
it's bad.
I'm a fan of a team in the Pacific, and, yeah, it's awful. Like, there's no reason the Sharks should be this close to a playoff spot.
Yeah, we were talking about this early. 22nd in the league in points.
Here's the thing.
And in a playoff spot.
Not really in a playoff. We're 3 points back of the second wild card.
We're 3 games back.
We have 3 games at hand on most teams. We've played less games. And I here's the thing with the Sharks. I think they're turning the corner finally. Before the Olympic break, they had me concerned. They started losing, like, a lot of games in a row to teams you shouldn't be losing to. After that Montreal game, which I finally got down to watching, because after finally midterms are finally done, they're like, okay, I can finally watch a Sharks game. They play, like, a heart attack game every game.
Yeah.
Every game's going to be, because we have no goaltending, no defense. And the Sharks just score. Macklin Celebrini is probably the best under 18 player we're ever going to see for the next 20 years.
Well, to be fair, the Habs also have no goaltending.
Jacob Dobish.
So it's really not that much of a surprise that you guys scored 7 goals.
But it feels like they're doing something like this every night.
No, it is a little bit ridiculous. But I just like the Sharks are going to be in the playoffs, probably.
Hopefully.
It seems like they will be. That division sucks so much.
It does suck. It is atrocious. But, like, we're going to be bounced by Colorado. I can already, like, see the series.
Yeah.
It's like, Colorado, like, in three, maybe. But
it's a good experience for Celebrini and, like, Smith and all the guys on that team.
All the young guys, yeah.
Get a little bit of playoff taste. But it's not going to be a long series.
Oh, it's going to be, like, if they can push the six, that's my Stanley Cup. If they can push Colorado to six, I'll be more than happy.
If they push Colorado to six games, I think there's going to be a lot of concerns for Colorado, and I don't think they're going to be able to win a Stanley Cup.
No, here's the thing. Like, there's always scares like that. Like,
that's a bad scare.
That is a bad scare, but still, like, it's a team loaded with good offensive talent. Like, the top six it's pretty loaded for the Sharks. Macklin, Celebrini, Will Smith. Kiefer Sherwood just got extended for a price, 5 years, 5.75. Like, there's talent in that top six. It's everything outside of the top six. That's where Colorado should be a big concern if they get pushed to six.
They remind me a lot of, the Devils a couple years ago. Just with, Jack Hughes, and they had, Thomas Hertl, Timo Meier. They had, a lot of those guys where they were, a playoff team, or, almost a playoff team. But they still, they lacked a bottom six, and they lacked a third line D pairing, and lacked goaltending.
You know what the Sharks team reminds me of? And I hope I'm wrong on this. But, the 2016-17 Maple Leafs.
Oh.
Where it's the young Matthews, young Marner. So much hope in Toronto.
Just fun to watch.
Really fun to watch team. They had no goaltending, no defense. And they get bounced in six by the Capitals. I'm hoping this isn't the same trajectory as those Leaf teams.
Better trajectory.
I hope there's no the lack of Toronto media pressure.
It can't be much worse than what the Leafs have gone through these last couple years.
No, it's impossible. That's poverty.
It's been bad.
They've gone. You said dumpster fire in Buffalo. This is the dumpster fire. It's in Toronto.
This is way worse than Buffalo. What's going on in Toronto right now?
No, everyone kind of saw it coming. Like, Mitch Marner hadn't been happy in Toronto in, 3 or 4 years up to that point?
I'd say probably since COVID.
Yeah, there's been rumors of him being traded when he threw the puck over the ice against Montreal.
Yeah, I was going to say, when they had that collapse against Montreal, the writing's been on the wall.
There's been talks about the Leafs blowing up that core, the big four, since they lost the series to Columbus in five.
I forgot about that.
That's one where everyone, okay, they're going to blow it up now. Then they lost to Montreal. Okay, they're going to blow it up now. Then they lost to, 2022. They lose to Boston? Was that the year they finally, what was it? It's been.
Three was the year that they won, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that was against, who did they lose to then? Was it Boston?
It might have been Boston.
Yeah, because that was the same year that Florida upset. We want Florida, right? That was 23. 22, they lose to Boston. We're going to blow it up. Okay, we won a first round game, then we got blown out by Florida, lost to Florida again in 25.
I still think that that Florida series would have decided who won the cup.
Oh, for sure. It was the two best teams left.
No, but I'm saying, if it was Toronto or Florida, whoever wins that, they're winning the cup. Edmonton just didn't have it.
I think Edmonton matches up against the Maple Leafs team better because Florida's the ultimate trap, defensive, suffocating team. That's the perfect team to play against McDavid. I don't think the Leafs are defensively good enough to beat the Oilers in a seven-gamer.
I just think the Oilers' goaltending and defense just wouldn't have been enough.
It would have been probably one of the most exciting series.
It would have been 11-10 every single game.
For sure. But when it comes down to it, I think McDavid beats Matthews 10 out of 10 times. I think Draisaitl and McDavid beats Matthews Marner.
And then you have Nylander and Tavares.
I still think you have the two greatest chokers in Maple Leafs history. Nylander's a ghost half the time. I don't think Tavares keeps up with McDavid. I think McDavid Draisaitl.
Nylander's been the only person that's shown up in the playoffs the last couple of years for the Leafs.
That's not saying much, really.
No, but of those four guys, he was the only one that was actually scoring goals in the playoffs.
And it's just, but here's the thing. If you really talk about hypothetical McDavid, Oilers Leafs series. The Oilers top six, I think, beats the Leafs top six. Nugent Hopkins, Zach Hyman, Draisaitl, McDavid. I think these guys are all great players. I think they beat the Leafs. I think defensively they're Bouchard is better than Riley. The exact same style of player, but Riley's atrocious.
But I mean, in 24, Riley was moving a little bit better than he is.
That's not saying much. Riley hasn't been a top 10. He hasn't been a top 10 defender his whole career. Never.
Mm.
I don't think he's ever been a top 10.
Like, I don't know about that. Maybe I think he's had there's been a couple years where he's been maybe like 9 or 10.
But that's been like 4 or 5 years ago. Like, it's been a long time for Morgan Riley.
His feet are just, they're like stuck in mud.
And it's not like he's not that old yet. He's not even that old. Like, Erik Karlsson was playing 100 points at his age.
But I mean, Erik Karlsson was just a different beast.
Erik Karlsson was on the worst team in the NHL putting up 100 points as a defenseman. And the guy was messing up our tank. While Morgan Riley is on, like, talent-wise on paper, if you look at the Maple Leafs, this is a playoff team.
Yeah.
And what is just it's gone the shit.
Even on paper, I don't think this team is a playoff team.
Really? Like, I think if you have Matthews, like the thought of Matthews, not current day Matthews, that guy is beyond cooked in a Maple Leaf uniform. But then, like, Matthews, like, I still think that's a wild card team at worst.
Matthews needs a playmaker, though.
Like, we all thought, like, Nyes, Tavares, Michelli, Neal, like, someone can make him a play. And he couldn't.
I don't know. It's just like that connection of Matthews Marner was so good. They had, like, insane chemistry on the ice, that there's nobody that they could have replaced him with where it would have made up for it.
Exactly. And then, like, there's even, like, other teams, like New Jersey feels like they're in the same area right now, where it's like you have a superstar player, Jack Hughes, and you're just underperforming. Like, they're just as bad as the Leafs. And it's just not been pretty for some of these teams that are, like, when you look 3-4 years ago, okay, who's your cup favorite out of the East if you look 3-4 years in the future? A lot of people would have said the Devils. A lot of people would have said the Leafs. These are fun, exciting teams. Not fun and exciting anymore. Not anymore.
The Ducks are fun and exciting, at least. West. Like, they were a team where, like, 3-4 years ago, a lot of people were like, that's going to be a fun team in a couple years. And now they are a fun team.
They are a fun team. They're dangerous, and they're exciting. They're fast. I don't know how consistent they can be. They have Lucas Dostal.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at a young team that has a really good goaltending, it's the Ducks right there. I could see a way where the Ducks maybe make the second round. I don't think they'd be an Oilers team in 7, in a 7-game series. Like, if
probably not. They're so inexperienced.
Like, if you were to start the playoffs right now, it would be Edmonton versus Anaheim in a 7. I think Edmonton dispatches them in 5.
I don't know in 5.
I think in 5. I think, like, especially, like, the playoff Oilers, they can dispatch teams, especially early on, pretty quickly.
They're just so fast.
It's incredible, and they've been fast forever, and they will continue to be fast until McDavid's, like, legs fall off.
Yeah, that was – I remember I was like, when McDavid hits, like, 30, it's going to be over because he's not going to have the wheels he has now, but it just he doesn't stop.
He's had career-threatening injuries and everything. He's had everything thrown at him, and yet he's still – like, especially when we're watching, like, Team Canada, it's sometimes hard to watch Oilers games, like, all the time. Because it's the West Coast team. Who really wants to watch the regular season Oilers? I don't. But, like, when he was playing for Team Canada, you know it's Connor McDavid. It's, like, a completely, like, everyone's playing hockey. These are all the best players in the world. Yet why does he look so much better than everyone else? It looks like he's playing a completely different game.
Yeah, no, it's like he's playing, like, midget hockey. Or, like, he's playing against midget hockey players.
It looks like, just like his tape from, like, the OHL. Or, like, when he was in, like, 13U AAA.
Erie Otters.
What happened? Are Erie Otters even good anymore? I don't know. I don't keep up with, like, ever since the Brampton Steelheads lost everything this season. Like, everything.
I don't think they're that good.
Sure, I'm going to search up the OHL power rankings right now. I know Kitchener's really good.
Yeah.
Another good Waterloo region based hockey team. Power rankings. Actually, I'm, like, really shocked. I'm kept up with OHL hockey enough.
KW region has great hockey.
Not enough people. Like, I hope there's going to be fans in the stands for this women's game on Saturday.
I'm sure there will. I wonder what Wilfs is going to be like tonight.
It should be. I'm not there. I'm at Ethel's, actually. I have a little club meeting. But it should be intriguing. Like, I'm calling that game on Saturday.
That'll be fun.
Frankie doesn't know yet. He might not be very happy with me about that. He wanted that one, but I'm like, I kind of want it too. Oh, Erie's trash. Never mind.
Frankie really wanted game 3.
He does?
From last series, he really wanted game 3, and then it didn't happen.
Game 3 is never going to happen. I don't know why he's banking on game 3 with this Golden Hawks team.
I'm like, the series isn't going 3 games.
No, against Brock? No. Like, we haven't even talked about Brock, like, at all this podcast.
Brock, there's nothing to talk about.
No, they're in, like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the Brock Badgers women's hockey team, but honest to God, they can't skate with the Golden Hawks.
No, it's no disrespect to them, but there's levels to this.
There's obviously, like, and you think OUA hockey, there isn't levels to this. There is levels to this. Yeah. They're bottom six. Like,
it's not there.
No, it's like sometimes, like, it's like, damn, like, is this the same sport? Like, yeah. No disrespect, but like, they got walked.
Yeah, that was a very unfortunate matchup for them.
It's like, yeah, you won. It's like, congrats, you won your play-in game. You get the Laurier Golden Hawks in Waterloo.
Yeah, that's like saying, congrats, now you have to go up against 2018 LeBron James in the first round.
And it's just someone had to play the Golden Hawks. Yeah. Someone had to do it. It had to be Brock. It's
unfortunately
great season. You made it way further than I expected. But
I will say our graphics design team,
They're cooking. You see the new one?
Yeah.
They're cooking. It's the second slide, a little horse sitting on the ground. Oh, boy. Like, that makes me more confident. I'm ready to blow the doors off the GGs.
Talk a little bit of trash.
Dude, the graphics this year for the Holy Way, just all around.
It's been insane.
Like, you see, Brock got fried by multiple schools. The Badgers got obliterated by multiple schools. I'm like even Mac basketball was throwing shade.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's been incredible. It's been absolutely incredible. Everyone's feeling OUA sports. We're finally turning a corner. I just hope, even though it's in Rim Park, first 200 students get free tickets. I know
I'm going to go.
Get yourself free tickets. First 200 students get free tickets.
It'll be fun to watch.
It should be good to watch. I'll be there. Maybe on more business. I'll be there. Like, if there's one bad call, you'll be hearing me from around the arena. What?
Nathan screaming.
Dude, the officiating's been horrible. I will say that. OUA officiating for hockey?
Oh, it's been basketball, too.
It's been concerning, ridiculous, to say the least. Like, I've seen some pure phantom calls. Like, I don't know how much we could rip into. Actually, no, we can, because we're not on OUA broadcast. Dude, they've been atrocious. They have been, like, do you have eyes? Like, some of the things I see when I'm calling hockey games, because you have to be a little bit more restrained because you're on OUA broadcast.
Yeah.
But, like, you're sitting there, you're watching. You see it in live time, like Claire Chisholm. I don't know if, like, I'm not going to stand up and do it because no one is listening to this can see it. But, like, Claire Chisholm is one person on a forecheck against, I'm pretty sure this was Guelph. This is Guelph against Guelph. And she, like, goes for the puck. She's eight, there's six still 3 feet away from this, the defender who has the puck.
Yeah.
The defender, like, eats shit on the ice because it's a Guelph defender. And all of a sudden, like, she's not even close. It's 3 feet. Like, she's social distancing her stick from the player. And the official from the far corner, the dude's basically in the stands, raises his hand for tripping. I'm like, in live time, I'm sitting there. And then you look at the replay, and, like, the screen's over here. I'm looking at it, and I don't see the stick in the frame. And I'm thinking to myself, what's happened here?
That's bad.
And they're bad with high sticking.
Yeah.
They're bad with tripping. And sometimes they don't call nothing. Like, in the Brock series, Brock was getting chippy with Laurier.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Like, dude, I'm pretty sure it was L. Spencer. Someone got totally run over, like, high hit. And you can't hit, basically. Like, hitting in women's hockey is, like, that's a penalty in itself. And she got, like, leveled. She got leveled, and there was no call. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, calling basketball, obviously, season's over now for both men's and women's. But there was a game earlier in the year where might have been Ottawa or something, but the head coach of the opposing team literally got ejected because the reffing was so bad he started yelling at them. We could hear him from up in the booth, and it's pretty far up there.
It's always funny. It's always fun to hear that.
Even, like, the guy who was doing play-by-play, I was doing color commentary, he was like, I've never seen this before.
It's like, I was calling basketball. I don't call basketball often. When I do, it's always a great game.
Yeah.
Dude, I saw, like, we're playing Brock, and the official, like, almost, like, it's a ball that's, like, almost about to trickle out of bounds. The official basically kicks the ball to the Brock guard.
It's ridiculous.
Like, what is happening here?
They're so unprofessional.
It's like, you see better officiating in, like, actual youth sports.
Yeah. Well, because I don't know how they're not held accountable for it. It makes no sense.
It's just like, oh, they feel like, okay, we got, like, not many viewers. Not many people are gonna be like, no one's really paying $100 a year to watch OUA sports. Yeah. It's the truth. If I didn't have a free account, I wouldn't have an account either. It's just unfortunate because, like, To be totally honest, like, people should be watching OUA Sports. It's high-quality competition, but, like, who's going to pay for it, really?
Yeah. When it was on YouTube,
It's fun when it's on YouTube. Like, baseball sometimes is on YouTube. Yeah. But, like, put hockey on YouTube. Make it free, at least.
Yeah. I kind of understand football a little bit just because it's such a big sport.
It is such a big sport. And there's, like, this is the one where, like, if you could see a sport getting, like, nationally broadcast on, like, even, like, CBC or something.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But, like, volleyball, basketball, like...
We don't even have a volleyball team.
Which is surprising. Like, out of all the teams we have...
Yeah.
Volleyball, really.
We have curling.
We have everything. We generally have every... Like, we had a flag football tournament here last week.
Yeah. Well, one of the guys on the Canadian men's Olympic curling team went to Laurier.
I hope you know we're, like, a curling dynasty.
I know.
Yeah, Laurier. Like Western for squash. This is the dynasty we have here with curling.
Like, no disrespect to curling. I don't understand how you get into curling, first off. But, like, we have curling as one of our sports. And then we... No volleyball?
When you think about it, it doesn't make sense. It's like one of the big four sports when it comes to, like, youth sports.
Yeah.
It's like basketball, hockey, football.
Well, even, like...
Volleyball.
Internet. Like, outside of North America, volleyball is a giant sport.
Yeah, it is. It's creeping to North America, too, now.
Yeah.
It's... Where is our volleyball team?
Don't have one. They don't care.
Like, we have volleyball nets, too. We have intramural volleyball.
Yeah.
We have guys that can play volleyball at intramural volleyball.
Yeah.
Where is it?
They would rather spend $100 million on a dome.
I'm not complaining about that. It's a nice... I have to check it out still.
It's a nice dome.
I have to check it out still.
But it's like, we can't have a volleyball team?
It's not that much to run.
No.
It isn't really, but it's unfortunate. I would like to call it volleyball. One thing I want to call I want to call baseball next season. I hope we can get that set up. That's more of a me issue to get set up. But
you're the baseball guy.
I want to get set up. That'd be fun to call baseball. It's a nice slow little
relaxing
Saturday morning. Little Saturday morning. That doubleheader. That'd be nice. Maybe start that up next year.
See how that goes.
Hopefully. But I think that'll do it. We covered everything basically.
Yeah. Volleyball, curling.
OUA officiating. We covered it all, but that's gonna be it for me. I've been Nathan Bathory-Roley alongside Tanner this time, and that will do it for Gold and Bold.